In our study of Ecclesiastes, I would remind you that the great purpose, among others, of God is to help us understand by the man who he had given wisdom as none other. No other man had wisdom like Solomon. Natural, wonderful wisdom in just anything and everything. Spiritually, he didn't have what Paul of them would have. But he had human wisdom, and God uses the man, the king, King Solomon, to help us understand if we're going to pursue our humanity on an earthly basis in the light of time, if we're going to pursue it without understanding that time is connected to eternity, and that we don't understand that heaven dominates earth, if we're just going to do it at an earthly level and we use the best human skill, understanding, insight, perception that we can have, we cannot under the sun come up with the answers. Life is definitely baffling and it's unequal. It isn't fair. And without God, there is no answer. And that's the whole point. If we're going to search out and try to do it without God, apart from God, there is no way to come up with the answers. So as we've been doing Ecclesiastes, we reminded ourselves in chapter 8, as we have almost to the end of it here, that God has a wonderful management called providence, and God manages all of his creation. God manages it very well. God is very patient long before being angry, and he is patient. He endures all kinds of things. He allows them to exist for a given length of time, and thus he is long before being angry. In the process of all of that, because God is patient, he has a management of things that isn't understood. He is long before being angry, and therefore his delay, his seeming delay, in handling life, in handling the things of life. If God is really God, then why doesn't he do something, care about something? And if I was an Israeli over there, I would be saying, God, why does this have to be again, etc. Now, so in the light of that, God's delay, God delays action, punishment, and it is misread by humans. And being misread by humans, it is used as an excuse to further pursue a godless way of life, to pursue a very worldly, fleshly way of life. And humans make a whole lot of assumptions. And in their assumptions that they make about living and dying and right and wrong, they make assumptions. And the assumptions they make are wrong. They're wrong. But they make them. Now, in the light of chapter 8, we share together in verse 9, verse 10. I'll read verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, emptiness, frustration. Now remember, here's the bad guy, the crook, the people that don't do right, don't care about doing right, do wrong, do evil, live a whole way of life that doesn't involve any kind of morality, rightness perhaps. And in the process of all of that, they go and they die. They're buried. They're buried with honor. And they're remembered, not for their evil and their bad, they're just remembered. There has a memorial put up. And for them. What kind of world is this that does that, that honors evil? Now, thus, we share together that the oppression, takes place by the oppressors. The oppressors oppress. The world tries to control, dominate, possess power, position, privilege. That's what it does. And in The Oppressors as They Oppress, I would remind you that the oppressor is troubled because he is in fear of being oppressed himself. So in order to stay at the top of the pile to be king of the mountain, you've got to stay on your toes. And that's why countries and governments have killed millions of people, millions of them, Soviet Union, etc., Africa, to stay in power, to stay in power. So the oppressor is in danger of being oppressed, and the oppressor is oppressing. That's the world. That's the world you live in, that I live in. And in the light of that, it is misruled. It is not ruled rightly at all. And in the darkness, there should be some light, some understanding. There isn't. And we know that men love darkness, what? Rather than light, because their deeds are evil. They don't want to know. So we're looking at the world, and the successful oppressor prospers in his living, here living. They are honored in their burial, and mankind is unwilling to change anything. And they are demoralized. They have no courage to overcome the system. And so the question, and we'll go there simply to lock it in the end of your Old Testament, Malachi, again, you want to lock in, how does the end of the Old Testament look in the light of what we're doing? And in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, "And you have wearied the Lord." Remember, here's the whole list of things that they did. They were out of whack, out of sync with God. "You have wearied the Lord with your words." In what way? "Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord." We just were sharing that. "And he delighteth in them." God is delighted. God is delighted in the people that do evil. And by the way, where is the God of judgment anyway? God doesn't do anything about anything. Everything just goes. God does nothing. All right. Now, with that in mind, back over to Ecclesiastes. That's the end. How does it end? It ends that way. Where is the God of judgment? And here in Malachi, looking at that same subject, chapter 5, Malachi 5, and in verse 8, because the subject is repeated, added, expanded. Chapter 5, and in verse 8, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, in an area of the country, whatever it is, city, town, village, district, marvel not at the matter." Don't get overly, don't get hung up, don't get overly concerned. "For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there is higher than they." Here's the whole rank of power, the janitor all the way up to the CEO. There's the people in government and power, kings, rulers. But God's over them all. God is over them all. Chapter 8 and verse 5. Again, chapter 8 and verse 5. "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." Now, we did all this, but just to remind you that a person that is paying attention, understands how it works, and doesn't get overly locked in or locked out, they understand there's a time and there's a judgment. There's a time for each. A time for judgment, a time for the thing to be happen to be judged. God allows that. Now, with that in mind, a right time, time for judgment, over to chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, just to see the frequency of it. There's a time for everything. We share that in Ecclesiastes 3. And here in Ecclesiastes 11, and in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. You're going to do what you're going to do, but know thou in all that you're doing that for all these things that you do and say and think, know this, God will bring thee what? Into judgment. Do it all, but know this, young person, you're going to be judged by God for all that you do. You're going to pay a price for that. Now, having said that, let's do a little, chapter 12, you're right there. Chapter 12, the book of Ecclesiastes ends with that. For God, verse 14, 12 and 14, for God shall bring every work, what? Into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So everything is going to be accounted for. There's a time for it to be, exist. There's a time for God to judge it. And you have to understand in God's providential management, he judges it in his time. A little sequence of how it works out. Over to Isaiah, follow a little trail and how it goes. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. You're looking at judgment. I want to see how God, in his patience, in his long before being angry, in his management of things, God, and here's a case, Israel, easy to see. How did you do it, God? And God uses Isaiah to bring this out. Thus, Isaiah 1 and 17. Learn to do well. Remember now, and so when you're doing this, you have a sense of that. Skipping over to chapter 1, so you have a little sense of what you're reading here. Verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. You'd think you'd want to fix things. No, it gets worse and worse. The whole head is sick, verse 5, the whole heart is faint. How much so? From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness, no health in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, etc. And then you skip over to catch the, in the, there's a group though, not many in this, except verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very, underlined very, small, underlined small, a very small remnant. There's only a handful of believing Jews that are with it in Isaiah's day. And we share that with you before. If you think everyone going to church and everyone that's is going up, they aren't going up. And all you do is reread it, and reread what God said. There's no way that that even fits. Thus, we should have been as Sodom, verse 9, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, having with that background, they aren't healthy, they aren't fit, they're condemned from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. 1 and 17. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. You see? Judgment, oppression, the oppressed. Oppressing, it's the world you live in. Human nature. Verse 17, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, bright red, and though they be white, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is, verse 21, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. It used to be with it. It is with it no more. No more judgment. Where is the God of judgment? And thus it is full of evildoers, murderers. Now, over to verse 27. The Zion should be redeemed with judgment. They put aside, they had judgment, right, with God. They put it aside. They were able to exclude God, and thus the judgment of God, the action of God. And in doing so, God said, listen, you have, for those little remnant that believe, God is going to bring judgment back to the Israelites and righteousness. Zion should be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. God is going to do that. Chapter 4. God is going to do something. They aren't in the place, but they will be. Chapter 4, picking up, if I may, God is going to do it in a most wondrous way. Chapter 4, verse 4, and when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, to put such a fire, fire consumes, the spirit of burning, to burn it all up. You know that we are going to be saved, wonderfully so, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior. And you are going to be wonderfully, wonderfully saved if you're truly believing and have received Christ into your heart. The reason you're going to be wonderfully saved is because God is going to judge every, not the unsaved. The unsaved are different. God is going to judge every believer with what? Fire. Fire. And everything that isn't what it should be will be gone. Fire. Our God is a what? Consuming fire. See? All gone. God is going to judge Israel. Israel said, where is the God of judgment? Well, we don't see him. Chapter 5 and verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So here's a grape field, and the grape field actually is Israel. It belongs to God. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. The people are his garden, like it says in 1 Corinthians 3. We are God's garden. And he looked for judgment, God did, and behold what? Oppression. Oppression, the oppressors oppressing, and they're worried about being oppressed. And it never stopped. The cycle doesn't quit. Verse 7, the end. We looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold the cry. But behold the cry. We had no hope. Verse 16, But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted, how? In judgment. You say, where is the God of judgment? We don't see him. But God is going to be honored because he is the judge. And just because people don't see judgment and think it's all okie-dokie, when it isn't, God said, you will find I am the God of judgment, and my judgment is always just. Thus, in chapter 5, verse 17, then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Judgment. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, And sin, as it were, a cart of rope, just carrying it, pulling it, keeping it all together, never fixing anything. Verse 19, they say, let him make speed, hasten his work, that we may see it. God, let him, God, make speed. God, if you're going to do anything, if you care, if you're involved, then show us. Hasten your work, God, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh, near, and come, that we may know it. God, do something. But there's a time for judgment and a time for the thing to happen. And make it. So you want God, do something now. And if you don't do it, thumbs down on you, God. See? That's what we do. Right? You know, everything's instant, isn't it? Instant, quick. I have 5 minutes. I want my problem solved. I want to be the person I should be, and I want to have everything I want. I'll give you 10 minutes, maybe. Make it happen. See? And life isn't like that. It isn't like that at all, but what we'd like it to be. Thus, with that in mind, verse 20, you know it, wonderful, wonderful, sobering truth. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them, woe. The whole thing is upside down. And that's the world you live in. And that's what Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, I'm trying to help you understand that if you use and you had the wisest, most understanding mind and heart, your intellectual IQ was almost to 100. Is that? No. No. Was almost to 1,000. Is that? That's good? That's good. Is that good? 1,000. It won't do you any good. You can't come up with any answers. You don't have any answers. You don't have them. You can't get them. Thus, if I can, Isaiah 59. God, here we are looking at history by way of the nation of Israel in the light of Ecclesiastes. And here in Isaiah 59, God continuing his working words to Israel by way of Isaiah. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he can't hear. God is quite able to save all the time. God always hears everything. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and that he will not hear. So you've created your own dust cloud, and it blocks your vision of the sun, S-O-N. Thus, verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. Thus, Israel's sin. Verse 9, the absence of judgment. There, wherefore is judgment far from us, it's not near us, neither doth justice overtake us. No, we're running and it's way behind. Can't catch up with us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Why is that? Because judgment is missing and justice isn't with you. You don't have anything to have any light. All you have is the ingredients for darkness. Thus, in verse 10, we grope for the wall, like the blind, we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn like soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. We look for salvation, but it is far from us. Verse 12 now. For our transgressions are multiplied before us, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. And here is the remnant confessing the condition of the people and where they are at and what they're up against, their confession. Now, Does God, what are you going to do? Did God do it? No, because the Assyrian captivity came in. He didn't stop it. The Assyrians came in. And the people in the two tribes in the south, Judah, they should have learned. God rebuked them for not learning. And the next thing you know, the Babylonians come in. Is anyone going to catch on? No, they don't catch on. It just keeps going. And that's what you're telling us, Solomon, isn't it? As long as we try to do it and try to work it out and try to understand it, it just keeps going and going and going. Thus, if I can, verse 15. Yea, truth fails, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. For the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was what? No judgment. There's no judgment. No judgment. Well, God, are you ever going to do anything? And yes, he is. He encourages the people. They're way back here in history, but God said, listen, be of good cheer. A thousand years is but a moment with me. So don't sweat. I am the God of judgment, and I judge at the right time. Thus, verse 16, and God saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. And Israel, be of good cheer. When the Lord returns, he'll take care of all your enemies. But not until then. Not until then. So relax. Where is the God of judgment? Well, he's there. But it isn't time yet. There's a time. What timing for when there is judgment and when there is things just seem to go along. Thus that wonderful statement, God, you are something else. God's timely working. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God is going to do what he does in a most wonderful way, but not until then. Not until then. Remember now, if you read Zechariah and that, they're going to come in, all the nations of the world, they're going to be represented, and all the nations of the world are going to circle Jerusalem. They're going to circle it. And they're going to get it out of the way. And God said, when they do that, then I will be there. You see, then. Why couldn't you have come earlier? No. Remember we did it recently in crossing the Red Sea. God could have had Israel go, but God made them not go to the northern route, and not to the middle route. He made them go to the Red Sea where they were blocked in. They had no way out. And God put them there so that they would discover that God is quite able to take care of things. And they have to learn that God isn't limited by the conditions. God isn't limited by the circumstances. God isn't limited by anything. In fact, the more we can eliminate all possibility and everything becomes impossible, it is the more likely God will do what he does. You see, isn't that wonderful? Abraham, Sarah, can you produce? And they looked at each other and said, we're skin, bones, grave. God said, good. And you know what? In their skin and their bones, and they were looking, they had built their casket and were laying in it. How's that? And they believed God. And that's what God waited for. utterly impossible. Good. Do you believe me? We do. We do. We do. God said, watch. And God rejuvenated Sarah to her youth. You see? Think of that. You see? Wow. Now, having said that, having had that little journey, and considering that, would you go back over with me to Ecclesiastes? We just had a little journey to follow the God, the judgment of God. Why doesn't God judge? And Israel was an example for us to consider. And thus, whatever is happening anywhere in history, in the middle of the moment, in the middle of this world, don't lose sight of God's righteous rule. God happens to be a very good manager, and he has a time when he allows things, and a time when he doesn't, a time when he judges and opens up the earth and swallows up, and a time when he leaves the earth and you wouldn't even know God was around. And God does that. So we want to be in the place, like it says in Psalm 150, we look, where is your God? And we cry out, our God is in the heaven doing what? Whatsoever he what? Pleases. You got it? See, that's what you got to get. You got to get there. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to get there. And God has implanted in the human heart, he has implanted knowing rightness. Hold your finger here. And go over for a moment to Romans 1. Romans 1 and 18. Romans chapter 1. God has implanted rightness. So it isn't a question. We know the God of judgment. Chapter 1, verse 18, Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against whom? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Well, that sounds all right. Of man. Well, what about them? They are holding the truth. Holding the truth rightly or wrongly? Wrongly, in an unrighteous way. It isn't that they don't know. They don't want to know. Look over in verse 32. Who knowing these people, the world, humans, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They encourage everyone to keep on keeping on in the same way. Is anyone going to try to straighten the ship out? No, we're just going to keep it going. On the journey through time, and we're like the system, human system, flesh world system, is like a ship in the waves, drifting aimlessly, and everyone's happy, having a party, and they don't realize what's happening. Thus, if you would, over in your Bible, over to Ecclesiastes 8 again. Remember, people are busying themselves in time on earth as if there was no ending. Time is forever. And you know, if you ask yourself, how long do you have? How long? To live. Do you have a concept of that? Isn't it hard to have a concept of that? Because you don't want to. You don't want to. You don't want to think about that. We live forever, you see, but it's true. But we, you know, is there an end? There's no end, no end. We may get older, but I have retirement, and I have, and I have a credit card it's called government bailout. And I have that credit card. So I can use it anywhere, you see. Boy, I'm all set. All right. So seeming this God seems to be absent, God seems to be indifferent. God does nothing. God does little about anything. And so, therefore, we're going to do it because we don't have a sense of God. And your evidence you don't have a sense of God shows up in all different ways. How is it going to show up that you don't have a sense, society doesn't have a sense of God? And there's all kinds of ways to look. One of the ways to understand we don't have a healthy fear and sense of God. Did you ever hear, save the environment? Did you ever hear that? Save the whale. Save the mosquito. We don't have a sense of God. And we've substituted a system to make us feel good. Global warming, environment, you know. Don't put underarm deodorant with a spray because it's apt to go up. And the ozone, is there a hole up there somewhere? Ozone hole, you know. And how can you be a healthy human before God and even get caught up in that? You can't. You can't do it. Why? Because it isn't. We don't have a fear of God. We're caught up. We're caught up in our own system. And therefore, we have all kinds of political, social, educational systems that seek to control us, to handle us. And fear is used to control us, not a fear of God, but fear. And it gains the following. It gives us a false hope. And people are occupied without a healthy sense of God. No fear of God. By the way, keep your finger there. Over to Revelation. Interesting, in the tribulation, a message that goes to the whole world. Revelation chapter 14. People are occupied, involved in their doing, with little fear of God. And the trouble is, they don't have that fear, because we've substituted other things to be afraid of, and that satisfies us. Revelation chapter 14, the fear of God, they don't want to have a fear of God. Thus, chapter 14, Revelation, verse 7. I'll even read verse 6 for a little better context. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Now, very, very effective, and no one's left out. No one's left out, so you don't need to worry. Everyone gets the message. Message, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his what? Judgment. For the hour of his judgment is come. But he's never going to judge. Where is the God of judgment? He doesn't do anything. He doesn't care what we do and how we do it. We're going to be free and clear. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You reap what you want. So, it's the way it is. And the only thing that overrides that, my friend, is the mercy of God, and we count in it something fierce. Wow. Thus, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Worship God, look to God, honor God, fear God, fear God. Thus, with that in mind, that fear. Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, if I may pick up the thought, in the light of that, the age of humans on earth, whether it be in the days of Noah or thereafter, Romans chapter 3, would you pick up that which you want to tuck away in, if you would, verse 18 listing their problem, humanity's problem, apart from God. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know, verse 19, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God said, listen, do you understand? They have no fear. I'm going to give them great opportunity. I'm going to make sure every human being on the face of the earth in the tribulation will know they better fear God and give him glory. Now, they won't, but he told them. He told them. Now, over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And in Proverbs chapter 9, allow us to pick up in thought, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So the wise person wants to pay attention and learn. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy ones, is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to have wisdom, but you have to fear God. If you don't fear God, it isn't going to come out. They have no fear of God. They have no fear of God. Thus, if you would, chapter 1 of Proverbs. You're familiar with it, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you remember in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. They became fools. Thus, verse 28, chapter 1 of Proverbs, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose, what did they fail to do? The fear of the Lord. They wouldn't reverence God. God said, I'm not going to listen to them. Not at all. They didn't fear God. They would none of my counsel, verse 30, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. They're going to live in their own little thought life. The worst kind of scenario I can think of is to be stuck with your, not with you, but a person stuck with, I'll tell you from my standpoint, forget you, to be stuck with my own ignorant stupidity. To be stuck with my own ignorant stupidity. I don't want that. I can't think of anything more tragic, more awful than that, to live in that. An illusion. Unreal. I hate that. I don't know about you. That's why you say you need what? Romans 7:18, what? Dwelleth what? No good thing. No, sir. No, sirree. Thus, verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity, remember we did it, the oppressors oppressing, and they are oppressed, and thus they oppress the more, the oppressor of those that are oppressed, and the prosperity, and doesn't someone care that the whole thing is crooked and wrong? No. The prosperity, verse 32, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You don't want to call evil good, or good evil. You want to keep it very clear. That which is wrong is wrong. God, help me to understand it and see it. And be on your side of the page in all of this. Thus, over in Ecclesiastes, let's see if we can get there this time. Verse 11. You'll catch it because sentence, people are unpunished because sentence, the legal decision to punish those who live an evil life. Thus, because sentence isn't executed, a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, hastily, quickly. It doesn't happen. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. They don't want to get it straight. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, a whole lifetime of it, and his days be prolonged, that's a lifetime, yet surely I know that it should be well with them that, what? Fear God, which fear before him. God-fearers. I know it's going to be good for God-fearers. I know it is. And thus, I don't want to get in the place where I understand that evil is looked upon as not so bad, wrong. I don't want to do that. Because that's what happens, You start saying everything isn't bad, isn't bad, isn't bad. If you went back, just use for the best of your imagination, if at best you have it in your history. Go back, 40 years, 30 years, 5 years. Go back and remember if you would. Remember what the world, if you go back in the 40s, and you go back, and the believers, that was great age, back then, Bible believers were basically right there, at least the remnant of them was, looking for things to happen historically that weren't even in the history, you couldn't even see them in the world. They're all over the place now, but we don't pay attention. And back then, they said, watch out for the theater. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. Remember them? Why were they? And they'd write and speak and preach. And you want to live. Watch your morality, your immorality. Watch what you drink. Drugs, and they didn't even have them. Didn't even have, they could have drugs, I don't know. But no one knew about it, I guess. Wow. Now, we're living in a day that it's almost common diet, isn't it? Common diet. We don't even think about it. Like it says in Jeremiah, we don't even blush anymore. Remember how people blushed? When was the last time you saw someone blush? Do you remember? You probably don't know what that is. Young people, you know what blushing is? I wish I knew. Blushing. Do you know what blushing is? Blushing is you get all flushed. Because you're embarrassed. You get all flush. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to look. Blushing. All gone, isn't it? All gone. Isn't it? And God said, they won't be able to blush. Can't even blush anymore. There's no shame. There's no sense. It's part of our system, part of our world. And we don't have a sense. We don't have a sense. God said, be of good cheer. I'm going to fix it. But not yet. But you fix it in your own heart. That you can do. Fix your heart. I'll take care of the rest in my good time. Anyway, thank you for that. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.